这个讲题呢是平凡却非凡。
Peace be with you, brothers and sisters. My today's topic is ordinary yet extraordinary.
《使徒行传》是福音书之后的第一卷书。
The book of Acts is the first book following the books of Gospel.
那么福音书其实呢，就是《耶稣行传》。
The books of Gospel is really a biography of Jesus.
那么记载主耶稣在世的时候那段时间的工作。
Recording the work of Jesus during the time he was alive.
那么然后呢，耶稣升天之前给门徒命令还有应许结束了。
It ends, the recording ends by the command and promise of Jesus prior to his ascension.
那是什么命令呢？
What is his command?
就是信徒有传福音和建立教会的任务。
Then that's the mission of believers for evangelism.
那又有什么应许呢？
And then what is the promise?
就是信徒会有，也必须要有圣灵的带领来执行这两个任务。
Then the believer will carry out the mission through the Holy Spirit.
那么《使徒行传》接续福音书，那么是记载谁的工作？
So the book of Acts, by following the book of Gospel, would record what does it record?
那么既然耶稣应许他走了之后，谁会来？
So his promise is someone will come after him. You know who?
圣灵。
The Holy Spirit, of course.
所以呢，《使徒行传》可以说是圣灵行传。
So in other words, the Book of Acts can be called the Book of Holy Spirit.
那么记载了教会如何从圣灵的浇灌开始啊。
It records that from the pouring of Holy Spirit.
然后呢，如何因着圣灵的工作可以拓展到整个罗马帝国
？The church can be expanded to the entire Roman.Empire through Holy Spirit work.
那么这个使徒彼得带领的第一个教会啊，基督教会就是耶路撒冷教会。
The Apostle Peter actually leads the first Christian church, and that's the church in Jerusalem.
从120个人很快速的成为了一个万人教会。
It grew from only about 120 believers to more than 10,000 very quickly.
那么根据第一世纪的犹太史学家就是约瑟夫斯的估计
According to the estimate of our first century Jewish historian Josephus
那么耶路撒冷当时的固定人口大概是八万
The permanent population of Jerusalem is about 80,000
那加上流动人口特别是有些节期回来过节的人就差不多大概有十二万。
So it will account to more than 120,000, including those migrants.
那么差不多就是 Santa Barbara 这个地方的人口吧。
It almost about the population of the city of Santa Barbara.
那么如果在这里
So imagine this, if this happens here.
有120个人开始了一个教会。
If 120 people start a church here in Santa Barbara.
大概几个月以后呢就变得超过万人了。
A few months later, it became our church with more than 10,000 people.
那在这里应该不是一件小事情吧
？So this is not a small thing.
那么电视台也许都会来采访报道。
Yeah, it will draw a lot of attention from the local TV stations.
所以我们应该可以想象，当时教会在耶路撒冷产生的影响。
So we shouldn't have any difficulty to imagine the impact of the church at that time.
而可以使得犹太教受到了很大的威胁
，which cast a threat to the Judaism.
于是呢，犹太教就要采取行动来逼迫基督教会。
So the Judaism took the action to persecute the Christian church.
然后我们也知道呢，很多的信徒呢就因此逃出了耶路撒冷。
So we know that many believers flee away from the Jerusalem.
好，那么呢，《使徒行传》就在记载了使徒保罗这个从安提阿。开始呢建立教会
So then the book of Acts continues to record about Apostle Paul starting his church ministry from Antioch
所以前面是彼得带领的耶路撒冷教会后面呢又是保罗开始在各地从安提阿开始建立到处建立教会
So earlier on it was about Peter who leads the church in Jerusalem. Then later on, Paul established, starting from Antioch, established many churches in other places.
所以我们可以看到，这两个人很明显的是使徒行传中的两位主角。
So we can easily call that Peter and Paul are the leading actors of the book.
那么刚才读的三段经文代表保罗事工的三个重要阶段。
So the three passages we just read represent the three most important stages of Paul's ministry.
但是我们也会注意到，记载的主角是保罗。
But we can also notice that the main character of recording is Paul.
但是呢，巴拿巴却是一个关键人物。
But Barnabas is a key figure.
他和保罗跟彼得相比呢，他只是一位热心的同工。
In comparison with Peter and Paul, Barnabas seems to be just our just an earnest coworker.
但是如果没有他在关键的时刻发挥作用
，If Barnabas had not played an important role in the critical moment,
那么教会历史几乎都得改写。
The church history would have been written differently.
所以巴拿巴的特点是
，So the characteristics of Barnabas is like
平凡却非凡
，ordinary yet extraordinary.
平凡的意思是基督徒只要愿意都可以像他。
Being ordinary means every Christian could look like him.
但是对于教会的贡献却可能是非凡的。
But your contribution to the church could be extraordinary.
那么我们来看第一段经文。
Now let's look at the first passage.
好。那么我们大部分，我们中间大部分的人对于这段经文的背景应该不陌生啊。
I think most of us are pretty familiar with the background of this Bible verses.
扫罗就是使徒保罗原来的名字。
Saul is the formal name of Paul.
那么耶路撒冷教会受到逼迫的时候呢，他是一名年轻的犹太教徒。
When the Church of Jerusalem was under persecution, Saul was a very young Judaist.
很积极的逼迫基督徒。
Actively take action to persecute Christians.
那主耶稣在他的一次逼迫的行动中向他显现。
But the Lord Jesus revealed him to Paul during his action of persecution.
那么他就回转啊。
Then he was converted to be a Christian.
而且他是捍卫耶稣是神啊的基督徒。
Who defends his faith that Jesus is Lord.
因为当时犹太教最不能接受的就是说耶稣明明是人怎么可以说他是神。
Because the point that the Judaism really fight against is the point that Jesus is not a man but God.
那么然后呢他回到耶路撒冷希望能够加入教会。
Then Paul returned to the Jerusalem hoping to join the church.
可是啊这些门徒们使徒们呢对于扫罗逼迫害基督徒的手段应该还是记忆犹新的。
But the apostles probably still remain in fresh memory about the persecution Paul had conducted before.
都不愿意和他接触。
So they are not willing to interact with him.
显然不信任他。
Because they don't trust him.
然后经文说呢，只有巴拿巴愿意去了解啊，他之后促成了教会接纳他。
So it's recorded in the scripture that only Barnabas was willing to get to know him and urge the church to accept him.
然后呢，保罗成为当时传福音和护教的主力同工。
After that, Paul became the major co-worker for evangelism and apologetic.
在这里，对。他的这个惊人的热心还有能力呢，使得保罗被使徒们信任了。
So Paul's amazing enthusiasm and capacity earned the trust from the Christians.
那么只有巴拿巴愿意去做了这件事情啊。
So only Barnabas took the effort to do this.
可是保罗呢，也因此呢。他的性命受到了犹太教徒的威胁，被迫回到了他的家乡大树。
Because the threat of his life from the Judaism, he returned to his hometown tossers.
那么这个地图我们再看就知道，大树呢是在今天土耳其南边靠近叙利亚的一个地中海边的城市。
If we look at the map, we notice that the Tarsus is a really a southern city in Syria near the Mediterranean Sea.
那么巴拿巴发挥了关键性的影响，在教会历史上呢是被传为美谈的。
So the impact of Barnaba has been passed miles from miles for a portation in the church history.
所以我们应该都听到很多关于这方面的信息，鼓励基督徒要有爱心，效法巴拿巴的宽容。
I assume that you have heard so many messages about how Christians should learn from Barnabas that will show this tolerance.And acceptance to Christian brothers and sisters.
要乐意给不被接纳的人机会。
Willing to give opportunity for those who are not easily accepted.
那么值得注意的是
，It's noticeably.
那么，巴拿巴对保罗的爱心不只是宽容啊。
Barnabas' heart of love to Paul is not only about tolerance.
还包括了智慧、勇气。还有肯付代价的意愿。
It also refers wisdom, courage, and willingness to pay the price.
我们请大家想一个问题啊。
I would like to ask you to think a question.
耶路撒冷教会不接受刚悔改的保罗，应该被指责是缺乏爱心吗
？Can we blame the Church of Jerusalem for lack of compassion if they blame what Paul did?
你想想看，在那个教会里面。有不少基督徒是因为保罗家破人亡。
We can think about how many families in the Church of Jerusalem are torn as under because of Paul's persecution.
使徒们面对的主要问题不是要不要宽恕接纳这个保罗。
So the main question here for the Christians in the church is not about forgive and accept Paul.
而是必须保护教会的弟兄姐妹不再受伤害。
But to protect the brothers and sisters who are not harmed again by Paul.
保罗啊，如同一只曾经伤害过不少羊的狼。
Paul was just like a wolf that victimized so many sheep.
那么如今他真的改变成为羊了吗？他的生命真的变成羊的生命了吗
？Isn't that sure that he has changed?From a wolf to a sheep,
还是为了要更容易伤害羊而披上了羊皮的狼呢
？Or he's still a wolf disguised by just putting on sheep's skin.
教会固然应该接纳信主悔改的人。
Of course, church should accept anybody who repent and accept Jesus.
但是有必要冒这么大的风险吗
？But how should the church take such a risk to do so?
显然没有人去采取行动找答案。
Obviously, nobody that is willing to take the action to find the answer.
除了巴拿巴。
But Barnabas.
那么经文说，唯有巴拿巴接待保罗。
It's recorded in the scripture only Barnabas is willing to accept Paul.
那么巴拿巴确实很有爱心。
So Barnabas sure has his heart of love.
他本身应该也经历过保罗的逼迫。
Actually, he himself was has experienced persecution from Paul.
但是他能够同情这个伤害过他的人的处境。
But yet he is sympathetic to the circumstances of Paul.
这个刚悔改的保罗回到耶路撒冷啊，可以说是两面不是人呢。
Okay, so the Paul who just returned to Jerusalem was really not welcomed by both parties.
犹太教徒啊，视他是叛徒，要杀他。
The Judaists view him as a traitor that wanted to kill him.
那么基督徒对他是避之唯恐不及。
And the Christians really feared to unable to avoid him timely.
所以他很可能连个安身之地都找不到。
So he would have difficulty to find a place to take shelter.
因此，他很希望能够和使徒们结交，被教会接纳。
So he was very hoping to get along and become friend of a Christian.
经文中那句话说，他想与门徒结交啊。
It says that he wants to be a friend of believers.
其实如果把希腊的文法也加进去的话，
If you look at it in Greek,
应该是他一直尝试与门徒结交。
He has been trying to make friends.
他一直试，但是一直没有好的结果。
So it means he has been trying.
那么巴拿巴呢，有爱心，也有智慧。
Barnabas has compassion and also wisdom.
他知道保罗是个危险人物呢，不能轻易带进教会。
He sort of sensed that Paul might be a dangerous person, so he cannot just random bring him into the church.
所以他先接待保罗。
So he accepted him first.
观察确定保罗已经信主悔改了。
Then observe him that for sure he has repent and has.His faith in Jesus.
但是巴拿巴很可能因为接待保罗呢，也变得两面不是人了。
But it's very likely that Barnabas can become not welcomed by both parties just by accepting Paul.
而且也有生命危险。
He probably has life threat as well.
但是他有勇气冒这个险，愿意为此付代价。
But he has this courage to take this risk.
很多时候，爱心是有风险的。
Sometimes.Showing your heart of love may bring risk.
会有代价的。
You may have to pay a price for it.
不仅要有智慧和勇气，也要先确定自己愿意付代价。
Not only you should have the wisdom and the courage, you should prepare to pay the price.
而不是让别人付代价。
Not let others pay the price, but yourself.
爱心的表现要周全。
So it's you really need to say and take action.
如果对某些人的爱心会造成对其他无辜人的伤害，那就不算是爱心。
So it's not a true compassion if your heart of love, for the purpose of benefit someone, eventually harm the other.
用今天的话来说
，In today's word,
对于耶路撒冷的教会的弟兄姐妹啊
，For the brothers and sisters in the church of Jerusalem.
保罗就是一个有高危险性的恐怖分子。
So Paul is like our terrorist that cast a lot threat to the church.
谁敢说教会接纳他不会有什么无法弥补的悲剧
？Who can be so sure that accepting Paul is not going to be lead to a disaster?
巴拿巴没有要求教会冒风险去表现爱心啊。
Barnabas does not require the church to take this risk.
而是愿意自己冒险付代价。
But he took the risk.
所以我们应该效法巴拿巴的爱心。
So we should imitate Barnabas for his heart of love.
有智慧。
And he has wisdom.
有勇气。
And courage.
愿意和愿意付代价的心。
And willingness to pay the price.
那么我们再看这个，这个下面的这个经文。
Then we look at the next passage.
这一段经文呢、啊、
？From this passage,
好像掉光，哎，在这里对啊。那么这第二段经文中的安提阿城在今天土耳其的东南角。
In this passage, it mentioned about Antioch. It's in nowadays in the southeast corner of Turkey.
距离叙利亚大概有十二英里啊
，about 12 miles away from Syria。
那么当时有一些，耶路撒冷，在从耶路撒冷被逼迫出走的基督徒呢，一路往北传福音到了安提阿。
At that time, so many Christians were trying to share gospel, and they left Jerusalem and going north to Antioch.
然后开始了《使徒行传》中的第二所教会。
Then established the second church in the book of Acts.
那么耶路撒冷教会因此差派巴拿巴去帮助他们。
So the church of Jerusalem sent Barnabas to help the church in Antioch.
那么安提阿教会啊，是由一群默默无闻的平信徒开始的。
So the church of Antioch really was began by a lot of unknown Christian believers.
因着巴拿巴的帮助，得以建立坚固。
Because the help of Barnabas, the church was fortified.
然后成为第一个差派宣教士的教会。
And become the first church that sends missionaries.
使得教会呢，在罗马帝国各处呢，就是 像雨后春笋呢、啊、被建立起来了。
So it helped to build so many churches, in Roman Empire, just like the bamboo shoots after a spring rain.
使徒彼得还有保罗呢，是初代教会历史上最著名的人物。
So Apostle Peter and Paul are the most famous or influential figures in early church history.
但是对于初代教会兴起贡献最大的，却是众多平凡的忠心信徒。
Yet the greatest contribution made to the early churches are from so many unknown Christians.
他们才是当时啊各地教会建立成长的主力。
They are the main force for establishing churches in many places.
而且产生了非凡的成果。
And made significant outcomes.
那么巴拿巴可以说是这些平凡却非凡信徒的代表。
So Barnabas is a really most important representative of those unknown Christians.
巴拿巴在带领安提阿教会的期间
，during the time that Barnabas was leading the church of Antioch，
做了在一件呢在当时被认为不可思议的事。
He did one thing that was inconceivable for the people at that time.
他竟然特地的去大树找保罗到安提阿和他一起牧养教会。
He went to Tarsus, asking Paul to join him in the ministry of Church of Antioch.
那么建立安提阿教会的弟兄姐妹几乎都是在耶路撒冷被逼的逃过来的。
So the brothers and sisters in the Church of Antioch are those who fled away from Jerusalem.
其中必定有不少亲身经历过保罗的逼迫。
Among them.Probably so many had been persecuted by Paul himself.
虽然事隔了好几年呐、啊、
，even few years later，
但是必定还有人是记忆犹新啊。
Some people probably still remain a fresh memory of what Paul did to them.
但是显然，圣灵指示巴拿巴。
But of course, Holy Spirit's work on Barnabas.
安提阿教会需要保罗。
That.The Church of Antioch needs Paul.
于是巴拿巴顺服了圣灵的带领。
So, Barnabas obeyed the direction of God.
保罗当年逼迫基督徒是不遗余力的。
Well, really, Paul, in the past, Paul spared no effort to persecute so many Christians.
现在流行的话叫做倾洪荒之力啊。
In a popular saying, it's like pouring power flood.
那么在保罗书信中、啊、他常为逼迫过教会 自责。
So in Paul's letters, he sometimes self-blame that about the persecution he had done to Christians.
而且他在提摩太前书中间承认自己是罪人中的罪魁。
So he admitted in the first Timothy that he is the worst among the sinners.
我们不难想象，当保罗来到安提阿教会，见到那些他亲手或者间接逼迫过的弟兄姐妹啊。
So we probably don't have the difficulty to imagine that when Paul had to face the brothers and sisters in the church of Antioch who were persecuted by him.
那他是应该是相当的愧疚。
So he really feels so sorry about it.
巴拿巴以本身是受害人的身份呢，完全宽恕接纳保罗。
But Barnabas.As a victim of Paul, actually forgive and accept Paul.
因此感动了其他的受害人，也宽恕接纳了他。
So it really affect and touched other people who victimized by Paul and began to accept Paul.
而且呢，他们亲眼看到当年呢、啊，这如同这个凶神恶煞逼迫基督徒的保罗啊。
So those brothers and sisters still remember they witnessed that how Paul.Devilishly persecute Christian.
现在竟然甘愿为耶稣的名被逼迫追杀。
Now Paul is even willing to take the risk and as a converted Christian.
那这是一个极大的神迹啊。
So they believe this is a miracle from God.
只有可能是复活的耶稣呢显现呼召了他。
Only the Jesus that from the resurrection.Can save his life.
所以他们对于主耶稣的复活还有永生的应许就更加有信心。
So they have a stronger faith on the resurrection and eternity of Jesus.
也乐意接受保罗的教导。
And they are willing to accept the teaching from Paul.
安提阿教会因此不再只是靠热心。
So the church of Antioch now is not rely on the compassion.
Only compassion.
Only compassion.
也因着教导扎根得以坚固。
And they really rooted their faith deeply.
而且还有
because of the teaching.
而且还有差传的意向跟事工了。
And then they have their vision and mission to the ministry.
教会
to the missionary.
教会需要热心。
Church needs compassion.
但是会有只靠热心不够的时候。
But when the congregation only has compassion.
就是有一句话哈，说 There will be a time. It's not enough to have just a heart.
这有一句常说的话，就是在有的时候光有爱心热心是不够的。
那么巴拿巴知道呢，教会需要有教导恩赐的保罗。
So, Barnabas is clearly aware that the church needs somebody like Paul who has the spiritual gift of teaching.
就亲自去请他来。
So he went to Paul and invited Paul to be part of the ministry.
那么巴拿巴就是以谦卑的方式啊，谦卑平凡的方式服侍，成果却是非凡的。
So Barnabas seemed to serve in a very humble way, but the outcome is extraordinary.
他邀请保罗来同工，也表现出无私的品格。
So his willingness to invite Paul to be a co-worker really represents his character of not selfish.
两个人的性格很明显的是，保罗一定是为首，巴拿巴是为辅的，在带领安提阿教会。
If you look at only the character of these two individuals, it appears that Paul is leading the church.And Barnabas is assisting Paul.
保罗的恩赐是教导带领。
So the spiritual gift of Paul is to lead the church and the teaching.
巴拿巴是安慰鼓励。
And Barnabas is to take the responsibility of encouraging and caring.
我们应该记得保罗巴拿巴的只是别名了，意思是劝慰子。
So I hope you remember the nickname of Barnabas is called the son of encouragement.
那他的本名是约瑟。
Of course, his original name is Joseph.
那么新约的书信啊
in New Testament letters,
几乎都是保罗的教导。
So much teaching is from Paul.
使徒行传呢，不但是有建立保罗在各地建立的教会。
So the Book of Acts not only records about Paul's action in establishing so many churches.
还有几篇他很精彩的讲道。
It also records a few very famous sermons Paul made.
你有没有印象有关于巴拿巴的讲道的
？Do you remember any sermon from Paul that mentions about Barnabas?
那么也没有看到，也没有记载他有什么教导。
You don't remember any sermons from Barnabas, and probably Barnabas teaching as well.
那么保罗就像今天呢，一位特别杰出的神学教授啊。
Paul is very much like in nowadays a very famous eloquent speaker theologian.
Yeah. 不仅他有很多的名著，而且还建立过不少教会。
Not only have written so many books, and he has established so many churches.
能够成为保罗的信徒很少。
Become Christians like Paul is not that easy.
在一个教会中呢，保罗的角色呢是不可多得的。
So it's really most needed in a sense in a church for someone like Paul.
教会有一个保罗就是幸运的了。
So if you have one brother or sister like Paul in your church, you're so lucky.
不过呢，也不能多得。
But sometimes we have to say you don't need so many Pauls.
如果有超过一个保罗，很可能就是不幸。
So if you have so many Pauls in the church, it's a problem about misplay.
You don't need so many, just two.
Yeah, just two.
因为一山容不得二虎啊。
So there's an old saying that a mountain cannot bear two tigers.
但是教会永远不会有太多的巴拿巴。
But in the church, we probably will never claim we have too many Barnabas.
教会需要巴拿巴。
The church needs Barnabas.
而且多多益善。
The more, the better.
生活有榜样，服侍无私的基督徒都可以是巴拿巴。
So anyone who live a holy life as an example in his own or her own life can be a Barnabas.
但是巴拿巴也有一个品格，我们需要注意。
Then we need to notice another character of Barnabas.
啊，他不是一个凡事妥协的好好先生。
He's not a yes man that compromises to everything.
但是也有不妥协的时候。
He really have the moment that he does not compromise.
那么这段经文我们应该也不陌生。
So for this passage, I hope you all are familiar with it as well.
那为了是不是能够要带马可呢去宣教，他甚至于跟巴拿巴跟那个保罗都分道扬镳了。
Yeah, he dispute with Barnabas regarding the issue of taking Mark to their missionary trip.
那么他本来在真理上是坚持不妥协的。
So, in the faith that he insists on not compromising.
我们看到在十五章里面有记载到。有这个有人宣称呢，光凭耶稣基督的救恩是不足以得救，还必须按照摩西的律法受割礼。
So in chapter 5, it talks about certain people argue about only believing Jesus is not enough. You have to follow the law of Moses to do the circumcision.
那么巴拿巴和保罗毫不妥协地驳斥他们。
Then Paul and Barnabas really rebuke them.
而且还上诉到了这个耶路撒冷教会的使徒长老团。
Then the whole issue the issues was brought to the elder board.
那么最后的结果就是那个著名的耶路撒冷大会。
So as a result, the very famous conference of Jerusalem was held.
那么决议确定。信耶稣得救和守律法无关。
The resolution of the conference is that believing Jesus has no relationship to the circumcision.
可是这一次啊，却是巴拿巴和保罗呢争执不下。
But this time, it is a dispute between Paul and Barnabas.
其实双方啊都有可批评之处啊。
If you look carefully, each side should have some problem that need to be criticized.
那么用俗话来说
in a layperson way,
那么保罗这个人呢、实在是做人不够意思啊。
Paul is someone who really not showing the good brotherhood.
巴拿巴可没有少帮过他吧。
Barnabas is the guy who helped him the most.
那就不能够给巴拿巴一点面子吗？
So,How about just to do something to save Barnabas' face?
保罗认为巴拿巴不可取，不接纳他。
So Paul,
保罗认为马可不可取，
yeah,
不接纳他。
Paul thought that Mark does not accept him.
那么却忘了自己当年也是被认为不可取、不被接纳的。
Oh, he does not accept Mark, but he forgot actually.In the past, he was not accepted by many Christians in the Church of Antioch.
而且还是因为巴拿巴的坚持，他自己才被接纳的。
Due to Barnabas' insisted help, he was eventually accepted by the church.
现在巴拿巴坚持力保马可呢，他竟然也都不接受。
But now Barnabas is trying to take Mark with them. Paul is in the opposition.
那当然，巴拿巴呢也有这个徇私包庇的之嫌了啊。
But there's a likelihood that Barnabas is playing the favoritism.
那么，因为马可是他的表弟嘛。
Because Mark is his cousin.
而且马可上一次这个脱队呢，也大概有的确造成了相当的困难。
Then the act of Mark leaving from the missionary group really caused problem.
我们该怎么看这个事呢？
How should we take a perspective to look into this matter?
这应该是一个成功还是失败的宣教啊？
This is a successful or a failed missionary
你说我们今天啊，宣教团队还没有出发就分裂的话。
So if we imagine that the people from missionary team really got split before the departure.
正副领队啊，不同心，然后呢，带着各自的团员分道扬镳啊。
The captain and the west captain are really fight and lead their own followers to different directions.
那想在今天我们怎么回教会交代啊
？So you have to think about how we can really, you know, let the church satisfy with this situation.
使徒行传的作者呢，应该是跟着保罗这一队吧
？So the author of the book of Acts seem to pick to take the side with Paul.
因为路加显然后面就只记载了啊，这个保罗这一队的成果嘛。
Because Luke only records the really the events that related to Paul's team.
看来是挺成功的。
It looks like pretty successful.
那么圣经没有记载巴拿巴和马可这一队做了什么。
The book of Acts does not record about what Barnabas and Mark.Had done afterwards.
所以也许有人认为，哎，巴拿巴的选择并不太正确。
So someone would question probably the choice of Barnabas was wrong.
但是我们看到后来的事情呢
？But if we look further into what happened afterwards,
马可很可能因此大有长进。
Mark was the one who was transformed most.
他后来成了保罗的一个得力助手。
He became the most usefulAssistant of Paul,
那么彼得也把他当成了属灵的儿子。
And Peter viewed Mark as his spiritual son.
马可巴拿巴带着马可去宣教的成果没有什么记载。
So the achievement of Barnabas' work leading the Mark was not recorded well.
即使有，大概也很平凡。
If even there's some.Recording exists. It probably will be pretty ordinary.
但是建立了马可呢，对于基督教的影响却是非凡的。
Transforming and building Mark up to be a Christian leader, it's a significant achievement in the church history.
所以，否则啊，圣经大概不会有马可福音啊。
So if otherwise we would not see the Gospel Mark.
而且马太福音很可能只有一半。
Maybe then the Gospel of Matthew would only have half.
因为马可福音有55%的内容呢，是从马可福音来的。
So because the Gospel of Matthew is derived from the Gospel of Mark.
路加福音其实也差不多。
So is the Gospel of Luke.
那如果没有巴拿巴
，If Barnabas did not exist,
新约圣经大概也没有了保罗书信。
Then the New Testament would not have so many letters from Paul.
那么基督教又能有什么样的神学体系呢
？Then the Christianity would probably have a different theological structure.
那么显然呢，神是知道这些都是需要的。
Of course, God knows this.
所以让恩赐相对平凡的巴拿巴产生了非凡的影响。
So God made His work to help.Barnabas seemingly ordinary to make extraordinary outcome.
他做了什么呢
？What did Barnabas do？
就是从圣灵的带领，宽容给人机会，并且愿意付代价。
Obeying the work of Holy Spirit, give his forgiveness, acceptance to the people who need, and then pay his price.
然后我们看关于巴拿巴最早的记载呢，这个经文我们今天没有读啊。
Then the earliest recording about Barnabas is from the book of Acts, which we didn't read it earlier.
在四章的32-37节。
In chapter 4, verses 32-35.
因为这里前面的经文看起来有点奇怪，所以我们来稍微了解一下。
So let's look at this Bible verses. It sounds a little odd.
这里说，耶路撒冷教会的信徒把财产都奉献给了教会。
It talks about the believers in Jerusalem, really offer everything they have to the church.
然后呢，各尽所能的，各取所需，哈。
They do whatever they can, and they take whichever they need.
这听起来挺熟悉的，哈。
This sounds familiar, right?
是不是在说 教会应该要实行马克思的理论呢？
Does this suggest that the church should practice Marxism?
不过呢，按照历史的次序啊。
But if you look at the in the historical sequence.
大概只有可能是马克思的理论来自于对这段经文的片面理解吧。
It's only possible that Marx borrowed the idea from the Book of Acts.
那么在圣经中呢？只有耶路撒冷教会有这个现象。
And in the whole scripture recording, only the Church of Jerusalem did so.
应该是圣灵特殊的带领。
This is a excellent example about Holy Spirit's leading.
你看，从安提阿教会开始就没有再讲有这个现象。
So if you look at carefully about what was done in Church of Antioch.This would not. This didn't happen again.
因为神知道啊，教会耶路撒冷教会要受到逼迫的。
Because God knows that the Church of Jerusalem will be under persecution.
而受逼迫的原因呢，就是要让信徒会出去传福音、建立教会。
So the reason for one of the reason for persecution is to really get the believers out from Jerusalem and go all other places.To evangelize.
没有财产的信徒没有牵挂。
The believers who do not own their properties would have no worry to go.
受到逼迫了之后呢
？So after the persecution,
他们大概从教会领了一些路费，说走就走，出去传福音。
Then they take some probably money for transportation, and then they go wherever they are needed.
建立教会，包括安提阿教会。
Establish churches, including the one in Antioch.
那如果有财产的话呢？大概都回家去了。
Imagine if they have a lot of properties, they will worry about this concern about returning home.
那么，所以这里段经文主要是记载圣灵特殊的带领。
So in this passage, it really records about Holy Spirit's leading.
那么。并且以巴拿巴为真心奉献的代表。
And then Barnabas is the most important representative in this story.
他其实只是众多这么做的信徒中的一位。
He is only one of those believers who did so.
而他的记载呢，却是什么？在对比下面一章。
So this recording is really bring a comparison to the chapter.To follow.
那个亚拿尼亚跟他的那个妻子呢，他并不是真正的甘心奉献的一个对比。
So it's a comparison between Barnabas and Ananias and his wife.
那么平凡的信徒顺从圣灵特殊的带领，可以产生非凡的影响。
So ordinary believers who follow the leading of Holy Spirit can make extraordinary.
千向教会长期支持一位在佤邦啊宣教的杨一哲牧师。
Thousand Oaks Church really has long been supportive to a missionary pastor Yang in Hoa State, doing missionary in Hoa State.
他今年七月呢，在北加州讲完最后他这一生最后一次道以后呢。就突然被主接走了，在 parking lot 就被主接走了。
Oh, he passed away in parking lot in this past July in North California.
整个过程只有两分钟啊。
It only took 2 minutes.
然后呢，在七月三十号，啊，洛杉矶有一场追思礼拜。
Then there was a memorial service in Los Angeles in the end of July.
我去参加的时候听到一些数字。
I attended the memorial service and I listened and I heard.A few numbers I want to share with you.
那么他们呢？就是这一生带领信主的人数呢，可以用万来计算。
So, in during their missionary, they have led more than 10,000 people to Christ.
那么一万是肯定有啊。问题就是说，是不是有两万啊？有人在问。
So, I'm pretty positive that he has led more than 10,000.And people even ask about 20,000 people to Christ.
而由他来受洗的人呢，要用千来计算。
And the people baptized by him are actually more than 1,000.
那么我呢的观察呢是还可以再加一个数字。
According to my knowledge, I want to add another significant number.
受他影响成为全职服事的人呢，应该可以用百来计算。
The people who are affected by him to become a full-time minister really are more than 100.
我第一次实际参与宣教，就是在1997年的圣诞节期去佤邦的短宣队。
My first missionary experience was actually in really was actually related to his missionary in 1997.
对我有很大的震撼。
It really touched me and affected me.
那一次短宣队一共十二位队友。
We have this missionary team with some 20 brothers and sisters.
Yeah. 但是有三位后来全职服事，包括我在内。
So in that group, three, including myself, became a full-time minister.
杨牧师啊，在佤邦服事了21年啊。
Pastor Yang and his wife served as a missionary in Hoa State for more than 20 years.
去过的短宣队啊，绝对是上百队以上了。
There are more than 100 missionary teams or groups joining their missionary.
所以我有把握，受他影响成为全职的工人，可以用百来计算。
So I'm pretty positive that the people affected by them to become a full-time minister are more than 100.
因为他的见证呢，真的是无法计，这是那个震撼力呢，是很难想象的。
It's really, I can't find the right word to speak about their impact through their missionary.
佤邦啊，就是在世界的那个毒品中心啊，叫做金三角的那个中间的地方。
You want to know where Hoa State is located? It's in the center of Golden Triangle.
那边就是毒品啊，跟这个打仗。
There you can only use two words, drug.
打仗也就是为了毒品的利益了。
So they fight for the sake of drugs.
他能够在那边服侍21年，是因为主耶稣真的是用神迹随着他证实所传的道。
So his service for 21 years in there is really an example or a representation of God's miracle.
这就是马可福音16:20耶稣的应许。
This is also the promise made by Jesus in the Gospel of Mark.
说啊，门徒出去到处宣传福音，主和他们同工啊，用神迹随着证实所传的道。
Then the disciple went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it.
他就跟我提过一个见证。
So he shared a testimony with me once.
他在那个地方让当地的人可以不再中毒品。
So he really was made so many people in Hoa State who decide to not plant the plants that later we make to drug.
造成了这个毒品的供应呢，就开始降低了。
So that really affect the supply of.
那当然影响到了这些毒枭的财路。
Then it affect really the profit of those drug dealers.
那么所以呢，就有这些毒枭要他的性命。
So some drug lords wanted to take his life.
他有一次在曼谷。
So one time he was in
Bangkok. 那么呢，他这个他以为是很幸运的避开了一个车祸。
He thought that he was lucky enough to avoid a car accident.
然后呢，过了两天以后呢，又有一个车祸呢，他又逃过了。
And then a few days later, he was luckily escaped from another car accident.
他开始觉得这个不对劲。
So he started to realize.This is not something normal.
其实是神保守他呢，能够逃过这两个是被设计好要来暗杀他的车祸。
Well, of course, he realized that it's God's protection that I was able to escape from this plotted car accident.
那么设计车祸的这两个人呢是泰国人。
So the plotter for this car accident are Thais.
他们比较迷信。
So they have a strong superstition.
就如果两次啊都不能得手的话呢，就表示神明不要这个人死。
Or if you take acts two times action to kill someone, and they do not die, and that's the protection from the God.
那你我再去做的话呢，大概就是你死啊。
So if you do the third time, you will die.
那么所以他们就不敢再做了。
So they stop their action.
那他们不明白，从前都不会失手，怎么这个人他们就不能得手
？But they really puzzled about why you know they are like a professional. They're professional assassinator, but they failed about this mission.
就跟踪了他。
So then they followed him.
他后来也发现被跟踪。
And Pastor Young realized that he was followed by others.
然后这两个人好像又不采取什么行动。
And there are two guys always follow him, but do not take any action.
后来干脆就问说：“你们到底跟着我干什么？”
So then he turned back to ask those two guys, saying, "What do you guys want to do with me?"
他们就说实话，说我们想知道到底是什么在是谁在保护你啊？我们从来不失手的。
They just said that we're just puzzling about who actually is protecting you.
哎，他就借着这个，他当然恍然大悟啊，然后知道那两次车祸其实是暗杀的企图。
So then, Pastor Yang came to realization actually.The two car accident was plotted.
所以呢，就用这个机会跟他们传福音。
And then he shared a gospel with these two guys.
然后呢，很明显的，前面的事情已经见证了这个他讲的都是真实的。
So, so what happened actually testified what he's saying to these two guys.
然后这两个人呢，竟然悔改成为基督徒了。
Also, these two guys eventually were converted to.To become Christian.
不再做杀手了。
So they're not going to be a professional.
做什么呢
？What did they do afterwards?
做他在曼谷的童工。
So they become the coworker in Bangkok.
哎，在曼谷帮他做联络人。
So they become the liaison for his missionary.
有什么事情的话，给他传消息。
So they will sort of pass information or message to Pastor Young.
这个杨牧师不是什么大神学家。
So, Pastor Young is not a really famous theologian.
也不是什么 mega church 就是大教会、千人教会的这个牧师。
It's also not an influential pastor from mega church.
但是呢，影响却是非凡的。
But his impact is extraordinary.
他有一些特殊的恩赐。
He has some special unique.Spiritual gift.
有人说那种地方如果不是他的话，其他人去可能早就没命了。
So people saying that if it's not Pastor Young, probably other missionaries could have been died many times.
但是更重要的是，他肯顺服圣灵特殊的带领，真心奉献。
Most importantly, that we can learn from Pastor Young is that he obeys God's will and God's leading, and to.Dedicate himself.
其实他们原来比我们中间几乎所有的人都富裕。
You know, actually, they were very rich, richer than most of us.
如果你说要什么圆美国梦的话，那么他们是真正圆了美国梦的人。
If you talk about, you know, make American dream come true, they are among those who actualize the American dream.
当年只带了$50到美国。
They came American.Bringing only $50.
当神呼召他的时候
，When he was called by God，
他卖的不是只是卖房子
，He was not only sell his house，
还包括了海边的别墅
，He sold his mansion near the sea，
and 还有呢，他不是说卖车子
He was not only to sell his car，
还卖了他的游艇
，He sold his yacht。
他一共换了三次游艇
，so he has three different yachts.
每次都是越来越大。
So he kind of he bought actually you know bigger and bigger.
早期的波士顿教会的人都知道。
So many years back, if you ask Boston Church,
那个游艇出去啊，钓回来的鱼，全教会600个人的分。 还有一大堆剩的。
Well, so he kind of go out sea for fishing, and then he really will catch fishes that can fit the entire church.
但是当神呼召他的时候，他这些全部把他放卖掉以后，作为宣教的费用。
When he was called by God, he sold everything and used them as expenses of his missionary.
所以神迹其实是随着他的。
So God's miracle really followed him.
大概七八千年前。
About 7 or 8 years ago,
曾经有一些谣言，使得一些支持者不再支持他们。
There were rumors at that time about them, and so that prevented some supporters from continuing support them.
经费产生了很大的困难。
So they fell into financial difficulties.
他完全没有怨言。
So he did not complain.
回到美国，就把那个准备退休用的只剩的那一栋房子要抵押贷款，用来弥补宣教的经费。
So he returned to the United States and put the equity of his only mortgaged house, and then used that money to continue his missionary.
当然，后来圣灵就带领那些支持者恢复了支持。
So with Holy Spirit's work, many supporters afterwards resumed their support.
然后又加上了很多新的支持者。
And there were actually more new supporters.
所以呢，我们看到了呢，像这样子的奉献的心呢，当然可以有不凡就是非凡的一些影响。
So we see that this testimony of this extraordinary outcome from a person with this wholehearted dedication.
不过像这种见证有些时候让我们有点害怕哈。
Of course, when you hear such testimony, you feel scared.
那如果神有一天这样子呼召我的话，那这个要怎么办呢？啊。
So you are afraid about if someday God is calling on you for this.
其实我们不要太担心啊。
So actually, you should not be worried about.
主耶稣不会如此要求每一个人了啊。
Jesus is not going to call each everybody for this.
那对每个人的期望未必完全一样的。
His expectation to everyone is probably different.
就是有一点是相同的。
But there's one common thing.
就是我们如果愿意的话，就能做得到。
If we are willing, we can do it.
他也不会勉强我们啊。
He's not going to force us to do it.
关键就是在于我们和他的关系。
The key here is the relationship between us and Jesus.
那么，这个哥林多前书十五章十九节告诉我们
，In First Corinthians chapter one，
基督徒如果只看今生，其实比这个非基督徒还可怜。
Sorry, chapter 15 verses 19. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied.
我们都知道教会是我们属灵的家。
We all know church is our spiritual home.
我们可能没有想到一件事情。
But we may neglect one thing.
其实教会也是我们信仰的堡垒。
Church actually is also our fortress.
我们在这里信仰还算自由的时候体会不出来。
When we have just so much this freedom, we don't necessarily realize it.
但是我在那些信仰不自由的地方，我听到最常的一句话说：“我们好羡慕你们能够这样自由自在的聚会。”
But I've been to many places where the religious freedom was not there. They really admired or even envy us about this religious freedom.
但是我发现他们真的是把教会不只是当家，而且当作属灵信仰的堡垒。
So they treated the church not only as their spiritual home, but also our spiritual or faith fortress.
当逼迫来临的时候，我们就能够看清楚教会的意义和价值。
When persecution arrives, we can see the value and the meaning of church.
教会这个信仰的堡垒需要像巴拿巴的信徒来一起巩固。
So the church, a spiritual fortress, need to be fortified by believers, just like what Barnabas did.
但是但愿呢，我们都能像巴拿巴，平凡却非凡。
I hope all of us can learn and become Barnabas, ordinary yet extraordinary.
好，我们一起祷告。
Let's pray.
主耶稣，我们向你献上感谢。
Jesus Christ, we give all the thanks to you.
你不仅是为我们设立了像保罗这样的榜样。
You not only set an example like Paul.
你更让我们看到了我们比较能做得到的巴拿巴这样子的榜样。
We want to open our spiritual eyes to see another example like Barnabas.
但愿我们都能够像他一样。
We are willing to become someone like Barnabas.
有爱心，有智慧。
Have compassion, wisdom.
还有一个顺服圣灵呼召的心。
A heart of obedience to Holy Spirit.
我们像这样的感谢，奉靠耶稣基督的圣名。
We give all of the praises and thanks in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen.